Scott. St. Helena, California, October 24, 1907. Scott, Tacoma Park Station, Washington. Dear brother, I have words to speak to you. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father, with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here, which shall not taste of death, till they shall see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Matthew 16, verse 24 to 28. To John was given a view of Christ in heaven. I looked, he says, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having the Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sang as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song, but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Revelation 14, verse 1 to 5. 6 days after Christ declared to his disciples that some among them would not see death before they should behold him coming in his kingdom, he taketh Peter and James and John, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces, and were sore afraid. Matthew 17, verse 1 to 6. Here the disciples were favored with a glimpse of the future glory of the Savior, and also of the sight of two of those who had been co-laborers with Christ, and who had shared his longing for the salvation of souls. This scene was given them that their faith might be strengthened for the experience that was before them in the trying scenes of the Savior's humiliation and crucifixion. The presence of Moses and Elias was wonderfully significant. These servants of God represented the law and the prophets. The disciples were to understand that the teachings of the Old Testament were not to be done away with the preaching of the gospel of Christ. They were fully in accord with the teachings of the new. The new dispensation embraced the old. Mark relates the event thus. And there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, and they talked with Jesus. And his raiment became shining exceeding white as snow, such as no fuller on earth could white them. Mark 9, verse 4, 3. Peter, overwhelmed with the vision, said, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked around about, they saw no man, save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till he should rise from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. Verses 5, 7 to 10. At that same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Matthew 18, verse 1 to 3, 5, 6.
Christ did not here refer to those who were little children in years, but to those who in simplicity of heart were seeking to follow his requirements. He would have all who walk in humble obedience to him respected. He would have his hearers understand that it is not those who are educating themselves in the performance of sharp deeds to get advantage of their fellows who would have the most exalted place in the kingdom of heaven, but the humble child of God who is seeking to practice the virtues of Christ in his dealings with others. The humble disciple of Christ, studying that character that is free from all guile and hypocrisy and practicing the principles that governed his life, becomes changed into the same image. He is a partaker of the divine nature and escapes the corruptions that are in the world through lust. His submission to Christ enables him to be taught of God and to accept his teachings as a humble child. On another occasion, when Christ was teaching the people, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus saith unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily, I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them, and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. And many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Matthew 19, verse 16 to 30. My brother, I have an earnest desire that you shall make most earnest preparation for eternity. Whatever we do for our own salvation and for the salvation of others, we must do very soon. You are in danger of becoming a criticizer of your brethren and their work. Guard against this, and do not make moves in your work without reasoning from cause to effect. Your talents are to be regarded as sacred gifts. God is very particular that all who serve him shall manifest the superiority of right principles. If you will serve God with a kindly, converted spirit, angels of God will serve with you. The angels of heaven are sent forth as ministering spirits. They watch the interests of the churches and guard those souls who are in special need of help and strength. God will use in his work those who are humble in spirit. But when the human agent becomes set in his own course of action and is determined to serve according to his own ideas, then divine agencies cannot work through him. In and through Christ, heavenly and earthly agencies are to unite for the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. My brother, your spirit needs to be softened. Cultivate humble, kindly feelings. Unless we are fitted for service by sanctification through the truth, we will spoil the pattern that is to reveal to the men and women about us the imprint of the heavenly. The Spirit must bear witness with our spirit that we are co-workers with Christ and are acting as His commissioned messengers. Only as we become partakers of the divine nature can we show that we are bound for a better country and are but pilgrims and strangers here. God has laid down heavenly principles by which we are to measure our business dealings with the world. The Lord is very jealous that we shall reveal the principles of heaven in our work and bring in no corrupting influence in the form of sharp dealing. Where worldly practices that are not in accordance with the Word of God are concerned, let us be willing to be pilgrims and strangers. It is enough that the disciple be as his master and the servant as his Lord. Christ has trod the path before us. His plans, His methods of work, if followed, will give strength to every soul. The Christian is Christ's representative, the agency through which He designs to accomplish His will in the earth. You have a special work given you to do in representing the kindness and gentleness of Christ. Let your heart be sanctified by the grace that was seen in the character of Christ. Cultivate a disposition to build up, not to tear down. It pleases the enemy of all righteousness when you consent to say and do that which will tear down. When you do this, you reveal that you are not sanctified by the Spirit of God. You are lacking in the grace and love of Christ. I am bidden to say to you, hide yourself in God. Through the power of the grace of Christ, in whom is vested all power and all grace, you may come into union with the heavenly workers. I am charged with this message to you. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28, verse 18. Go ye therefore and perform your business transactions in a manner that will bear the divine inspection. My brother, I dare not withhold these words from you. You are too sharp and dictatorial. I beseech you to seek the Lord, that you may learn to represent Christ in spirit and in action. Strive to possess the sweet spirit of Christ, for this every true child of God will have. We do not want to spare any worker from our ranks. We need every talent that is among us, but we must have the sanctification of the Spirit of God revealed in our lives. There is a world to be warned, and the messengers need to be cleansed and purified and ennobled. The converting power of God needs to come upon them. Heaven is full of blessings for us if we will receive the Holy Spirit of God. Heaven is full of grace, my brother. Pray for the softening and subduing Spirit of God. Seek constantly for His power, and your own soul will be refreshed, and you will be the means of bringing refreshing grace to the souls of others. I leave these words with you. May the Lord bless you and heal all you infirmities, is my prayer.